tell you, it's so great that there are a number of ways, certainly not countless ways, certainly not inexhaustible ways of obtaining funding to attend college and university. But one of the ways that a number of people across the country do pay for their funding, pay for their schooling, even at some of the most prestigious universities in the land, is through legacy scholarships. Legacy scholarships. What a great way to have your college education funded. And like I said, very often at some of the most prestigious colleges in the country. Basically, the way it works is you have family members. It could be just one family member. I'm saying family members, plural, but it could be one family member who has attended a particular school, whatever the school is. Very often, the people who decide who gets money will look at your application and say, hey, your father is an alum of this school. You don't have to pay anything to attend this university based on the fact that your father is an alum of our school. He graduated from here. You don't pay anything. Whoa, hold up. Another school may say, what? Both of your parents graduated from our university? You don't have to pay a dime. Come on. Get your education. Get prepared for your future. We'll help you do that. Don't have to pay a dime. Just come on. And personally, I think that's a great way for some people to go to school. Now, granted, a lot of people who receive those legacy scholarships do not need the legacy scholarships because their parents could pay their way through the school. They have the ability, those students have parents who have the ability to pay the tab, to pick up that academic tab, that educational tab, and the people get those quality educations at those schools, including, as I mentioned, some of the most prestigious schools in the country. Now, this is why I bring that up. You had a number of schools in the country, including some of the most prestigious, that had decided they wanted to try to begin to level the playing field for low-income students who had the ability to do well at the schools but did not have the money to get in and follow through, complete the course of study. So they started providing funding specifically for low-income students who were promising students who they believed, they had reason to believe, would thrive at their schools. These schools started, you started hearing about more and more schools who were providing funding, setting aside funding specifically for those low-income students who just needed the financial shot in the arm necessary to get them into those schools and get them educated. The Republicans said, you know what? We don't like that kind of program. And they wrote a law making those kinds of programs illegal. They did not write any laws that make legacy scholarships for people who do not need financial aid illegal, but they did make programs designed to help low-income people who do need the financial assistance illegal. They're not through. $231 billion in education and social services program, including deep cuts in student aid. It's part of their gift to Americans. Now they've already scaled back Pell Grants previously. They're going to scale back Pell Grants even more. Colleges where the executives have decided this is what our schools want to do to help low-income students. And they stepped in and said, the Republican politicians stepped in and said, hey, we understand that these are your schools and you have decided that this is the way, this is the type of culture, that you want to build at your schools, but we're going to step in and say that's no longer legal. We're shutting those programs down. Been scaling back Pell Grants. Again, been scaling back federal student loan programs or funding. Federal student loan funding scaled back, and they are not through. Pell Grants helped nearly 8 million students from low-income and moderate-income families afford college by eliminating all the mandatory funding for the Pell Grants. As the Republicans know, they are going to hurt millions of low-income families and moderate-income families, and this is going to be generational. That's part of the plan. You make it difficult for this generation to get the aid that they need, to get the education that they need in order to qualify for well-paying jobs. And then the generation that comes after them faces the same thing. Because think about this. While it is obvious that the cost of attending college is going sky high, the Republicans are making sure that people who need help the most in order to go to college are the ones who will be receiving less and less student aid. Costs going higher and higher, student aid lower and lower. And 20 years from now, people will be blaming families and individuals who are low income for their plight. They'll be just completely dismissing what the Republicans are doing now that is intended to set up a lose-lose situation for people from low-income and moderate-income families. For love of country, right? Their cuts would cut the maximum Pell Grant from $6,095 in the 2018 to 2019 school year to $5,035, unless, as Republican staff suggested, the Appropriations Committee offset the repeal of mandatory funding through higher discretionary funding for Pell. And of course, as the Republicans know, because they're smart enough to figure this out, the Pell Grant and student loan reductions would make it more expensive and as a result, much more difficult for young people to attend college. It is obvious that the budget that they have thrown at Americans, given to Americans, is certainly not a gift for low-income, moderate-income families and individuals. Where will it lead? I've shared with you some of where it will lead. Hey, what about slavery? When you're making sure that you make it more and more difficult for people to get trained for good jobs, and you make it more and more difficult for people to be well-educated so they can get good jobs, what position does that put them in and some of the generations that will follow soon after them? Where does that leave them?